You can fill up this gap if anyone. I would like to read out two lines from a very ancient Tibetan spiritual practice. Memory is a faculty of the subconscious mind. Millions of our ancestors have filled it with wrong thoughts and emotions. We cleanse this through breaths and meditation. Breath is the foundation of cosmic life. Meditation is the foundation of cosmic mind. Memory. You see, millions of our ancestors, one way to look at it is we have absorbed the conditioning of generations, most of it unconscious, and we repeat the same patterns. How our parents treated us, we treat others that way. And this becomes the burden of memory. Now, the spiritual journey offers a tremendous potential, and that is to break this stream of unconscious conditioning. That is why this teaching emphasizes and emphasizes daily living. The sadhana is daily living. The sadhana is not a practice. How do I deal with the events that transpire in the day? The people I meet? What is my relationship with all this? Sri Aurobindo referred to this as the actual yoga, not a practice. So the potential for transformation is immense. This potential is offered by the guru, not as a person, but as consciousness. Consciousness creates that opening through what someone says, a book you read, whatever it may be. Therefore, one has to ask oneself, in my daily living, in my relationships with people, with the events that happen in my life, and with myself, where do I stand? Am I standing where my feet are? Or is my mind in the dead past, in imaginary future, in dreams and fantasies and wishful thinking? Where do I stand? If God came to you just now and said, you will only live till tonight, what future are you going to think about? God exists where you are placed, not apart from that. The briefest definition of God is what is, because nothing can be apart from God. That we must agree on. If God is all powerful, all knowing, and all pervading, can a person be apart from God? And can an event be apart from God? We may or may not like that person or event, but can it be apart from God? Which basically means, if nothing is apart from God, my relationship with people and my relationship with events reflects my relationship with God. It is like entering into a hall of mirrors. When you enter into a hall of mirrors, the only reflection you see is of yourself. But the Maya is designed in such a way that you see others. The Maya is so strong that you believe you are separate from others. And when this is realized, that this is only an appearance, then the veil starts lifting. That is what happens. Nothing else. If I find I am criticizing people too easily, I pick on a certain sentence they said and make a big story out of it. If I find by and by any person I meet, I am gossiping about them behind their backs, criticizing the things they say, not just criticizing them, I have missed one fundamental point, that everyone is shaped by God. So when it becomes clear that God is what is, how do I deal with a situation that is unpleasant? Supposing there is someone who's abusing me, what do I do? Does it mean I become a doormat? Does it mean I give back the abuse? And the enlightened master says, do precisely that which you think and feel you should do, knowing nobody is the doer of their actions. What does this mean? It means if I have a situation where someone is being nasty to me or abusing me, based on my nature, my temperament, whether God made me timid, God made me strong, whatever it may be, I express myself. The only difference is I am no longer targeting an individual who did something to me. That is the only difference. All my guns and weapons are not trained at the individual. I understand this person is saying things a certain way based on their blueprint, which God made. Yet I have to deal with the person. So I find now more and more, rather than unconscious reaction, like a tennis match being played, I respond. I find a gap now between what that abuser is saying and my response. Earlier it was knee-jerk. I was earlier repeating the patterns of millions of ancestors as I read out. Now the potential is there for the conditioning to be transformed. That is what happens. I get out of this duality of victim and abuser, and now with fresh eyes, with the eye of wisdom, the third eye, not the eyes of duality, I now see the situation in a different light. This is the way the transformation happens in daily living. Step by step, by and by, incident by incident, and I find there is only one result possible. I am more and more at peace. And when I am more and more at peace, I find I am more and more just happy to be, because I am happy in the present moment. The burden has been lifted. I mean, imagine if God came and stood in front of you and you're thinking about your ex-girlfriend or boyfriend or what your parents did when you were 10 years old and your mind is lost and God is standing in front of you. Or you're thinking, when will I make the next 20 lakh rupees? How should I save? You would be so overwhelmed to see God. Would your mind go left or right? It would not happen. But because we think we don't see God standing in front of us, our mind is going left and right. But God is standing in front of you. God is the present moment. And the annihilation of the thinking mind, which is always creating stories of what people did to me, what they said to me, what my employer did, what my spouse did, what my sibling did, all that is just playing autopilot on and on and on in the mind. Then it will keep playing. And then the opportunity is given by consciousness to say, hold on, let's look at what's happened. Let's review it. Think about it a bit and see how much did my heart close in dealing with people with a sense of separation, condemnation, blame, with the grand deception of thinking that the world is against me and I must survive. It is a battle to be fought. If we are fighting battles, the universe will continue giving us battles to fight. And then one finds, when one is more and more in the present moment, one is no longer mesmerized by what happens, sucked into it, like one used to be. That is called the dawn of witnessing. If anyone would like to share anything or ask something, you're welcome to. Before that, we are planning a trip to Shirdi for a day and a half. If anyone is interested in coming, my suggestion is there's a book lying there which is being distributed free called A Jewel of Sai Devotion. It's about one of Sai Baba's devotees and his life, and some of the pointers he gave in his talks, which I might be referring to in Shirdi when I give a talk. So you could take that book and read it before the trip, which is in July.
I have just recently started reading The Power of Now, and about, like you said, the dawn of witnessing. So I, you know, keep trying to come back to that and getting away from the mesmerized state, like you said. But then again, one maybe drifts to the old habits or something. What is that like? I mean, you said breath, meditation, but what is that, you know, sort of anchor that you can keep, that you always stay in that, like you said, blessed state, but not the battle state?
So you see, what you described is a natural process. I read something which appealed to me. I would love to be in that state. It means the ego has realized that the peace of mind is not found in the earlier state. Consciousness, the universe, brought a book in front of you called The Power of Now. Something touched you, appealed to you. Now what can you do about it? All you can do is try. That's all. And so you try. Now the issue is that there's a motherload of previous conditioning which makes us continue repeating the patterns. So that's our default setting. We go back to that. But by and by, we find that the new conditioning which appealed to us, you didn't reject it. It appealed to you. So somewhere it has touched you. It has become like an ideal way to be. That has to be allowed to do its job, because you had no control over that touching you. There was a recognition that this is how I aspire to be. Yet the individual makes the effort. There is no escaping that. And it is over a period of time that you find more and more that your new conditioning is the way you are living your life. Frustration will arise that, oh, there I go, I repeated the same pattern again. And a next attempt is made. But rather than get frustrated, because the ego loves to do, you see. It thinks that by its doing, it can hasten the process. Its cooperation is certainly needed. But the prayer has to be to that power, that source, that you've introduced me to a new way of being through this book. Now, please show me the way. So what happens is an element of surrender. Without surrender, it is very difficult. So what happens when I repeat a reaction? I can see it is not my reaction. In the sense, it is the way I was conditioned. But you see, some people stop there. They do not surrender the action. And they do not acknowledge the higher power that you have shown me another way to live. Please guide me further. That does not happen. And surrender is crucial. Yet the ego cannot do surrender. It can only happen. And also humility arises. When I find I'm pretty powerless, I'm trying to stop a reaction, it's not stopping. Humility arises. Humility because it's so clear to me that I really want to be another way. I'm trying my best, I can't. But you see, this humility may not arise. Arrogance may arise. The ego is very deceptive, supremely arrogant, and will find ways out of surrender. So by and by, we become thankful for a revelation that, you know, God, I didn't have this before. You didn't show me this book before. Now you brought it to me. So even for that little bit, I'm thankful, rather than complaining that it's not happening fast enough. Ego loves to complain. So we start becoming grateful and thankful for all these small, small differences, small, small things, that at least this much you have shown me, which has really appealed to me. Anyone else? Is someone's phone buzzing? Because it's a bit disturbing. Can you switch it off, please? The vibration, I think.
So like you mentioned, if you think of life as a battle, universe is going to give you the same thing all over again. So I want to understand if what truly has to happen and the thoughts that we have, is there a connection or it's just one after the other into its own thing?
Everything is connected. That is why it is said, as within, so without. Everything is connected. Now, these, what you have mentioned, actually two different concepts. For example, if I choose not to react but to respond in a certain situation, one could say I have determined the outcome which would have otherwise been different. Let's take a very simple example. Road rage. Okay. If I am driving and something happens and I don't respond and go after the other person, there's no engagement. You could say I've determined the outcome and the event has happened, the person's gone, I've gone. Or I can have a burst of anger and the other person will react and we will start blaming each other. Now, the point is, cause and effect are related. But do I have any control myself over my reaction? In the larger picture, no. How? Let's say a teaching came in front of me and told me, this is the difference between reaction and response. And I start living life that way. If the teaching had not come in front of me, the same pattern would have repeated. The teaching came in front of me, which resulted in a change in the pattern because that was destined. The teaching was destined to come in front of you. You see how it works? The point is, there is nothing apart from consciousness. So, in your own relationship with someone who pushes your buttons all the time, you can try this experiment. Do I continue giving back and reacting the same way that I used to? Or perhaps I put my tennis racket down and I just meet the person in stillness and see what happens. So you see, this potential is now offered. Earlier there was no potential because there was no awareness that there is another way to deal with this dynamic. Now that is offered. Who offered it? Consciousness, the source, offered it. So consciousness or the source will determine the outcome, not you. Yet, you have to act and do precisely that which you think and feel you should do, now with fresh conditioning. I met someone recently who's from the tradition of the Nath Panthis. They follow the Nath Sampradaya. So he was telling me that any person who walks into his large room where he meets people, he immediately senses their vibration. It's immediate. He doesn't have to think about it. He knows the kind of person walking in. Now, we all are vibrations. An upset mind, an agitated mind is a vibration. And that vibration will agitate people around it. A calm mind is a vibration. That calm mind, when it is there, has the effect of calming other minds unknowingly. That is why we are drawn to sages. So what happens is, by and by, when I find I'm becoming more peaceful, more calm, same situations which happened in the past are happening now, but my reactions are different. My vibration is changing and that affects what is around me. It is not about whether I can control it or not. It is a happening. It is a natural happening. That is what happens. To meet the world and what it offers one in peace, equanimity and calm. Rather than angst, strife, tension, stress, and all I can do is try my best. That's all I can do. I have to try it for myself. Next time someone threatens me, not physically, it could be someone having a different opinion than mine about the dress I wear, about a movie I saw. How quick am I to defend myself? Will know how identified I am with that. And my position, you see, anything anyone says, I feel it is said against this body of mine and this me. That is the problem. I feel threatened. This is my view. How dare you have an opposing view? This is what I am saying is the right thing, not what you are saying. If you find yourself saying this is the right thing, you missed one point. According to you, it is the right thing. According to the other person, it is not the right thing. My teacher, he was 92 when he passed on. He said that in his days, they found the vaccine for the smallpox virus. And there was big celebration across the globe that a vaccine has been found. But he said, nobody asked the smallpox virus how it felt. You see, we are seeing it from our point of view, our survival, our victories, our battles. I had read one book. Some of you all might be familiar with the Aghora series, where the Aghori Vimlananda, who seems to have been a master of karma, who enjoyed his whiskey at night, he had a way to negate the karmic effect of the whiskey drink, because everything is karma. So like in India, if you see chai stalls, tea shops on the road, and you go early, And when the man is setting up the stall, you will find that the first chai which he makes, he spills it on the road. He's offering it, the first is offered to source consciousness. So Vimlananda had this method apparently of maybe chanting some mantras or something before drinking the whiskey to negate the karmic effect, because the whiskey itself, alcohol, consists of millions of yeast cells which are alive, which technically have been murdered for your consumption. So 2 months ago, some school friend said, we are at the CCI bar, let's meet for drinks. So I went. I entered the bar and I said, my God, this is a mass graveyard if I look at it from the point of view of the yeast cells, you know. Things are not what they seem. It is from our point of view that we are seeing. My enjoyment. It's crazy. It doesn't mean you shouldn't go into bars. You guys are young, go enjoy. But I'm just saying that what we see, hear, taste, smell, and touch is extremely limited. It is the tip of the iceberg. Every time you think you know, humility is when you feel that the thought comes, I know only 10%, based on my very limited brain and mind. That is humility. If I feel I know best, then I am suffering. And if I feel I know best and I know what is best for others, then I'm suffering even more. I am suffering. I may not know it. I'm suffering even more. There is no end to psychological suffering. That is why my teacher would say, we think A leads to B, B leads to C, and C leads to D. Because our mind is structured in a linear way. But it is the opposite. For D to happen, C had to happen. For C to happen, B had to. It is reversed. And that is why I say the spiritual journey is not about peak experiences, not about my inner journey, the states of samadhi I have reached. If it was only that, we would not have had someone like Ramana Maharshi, who would wake up early and go into the kitchen and cut the vegetables for all the people who were living with him. It is this realization, this absence of separation from others, what Eckhart calls the felt oneness with being. If that has not happened, self-realization has not happened. I cannot be self-realized and be a nasty person. And the Sufi mystics turn this around. They say, forget the self-realization. Just help others all the time. And that will happen on its own. Every time you meet someone, greet them. Have a good thought in your mind for them. Tell yourself, this person I've just met has far greater qualities than I think I have. And when that starts becoming your nature, God will take care of your inner journey. That is the inverse way. So Ramana Maharshi didn't go about hugging everyone. That was not his nature. Some other sage may have this nature of hugging everyone. Yet, he refused to be treated in a special way. If anyone came to his ashram, he made sure any gift given to him was divided equally. That is the realization. He didn't hide it in his cupboard and say, this is for me.
I think, like you said, Gautam, conditioning plays a huge part. Because I was just contemplating on what you said.
I was just contemplating on what you said, and you, I mean, use two words, which is effort and allow. So I think from, I don't know, my son is 7 and he's in school. So from school, we've been, or from the time we've been brought up, we've been told effort, effort, effort. I think allowing has.
So true. But you know, I've been reading about new books on parenting called like conscious parenting and a new approach to this dimension rather than one of only competition. It's quite fascinating what's going on today. There's a lot of awareness which is coming into bringing up children, especially children which have needs, you know, based on like attention deficit syndrome and all that. It is truly an era now of conscious parenting. And because it is more conscious, the parent thinks twice before dumping their conditioning into the child, you know, because we dump our fears into the child. We dump our views onto the child, our opinions. We don't allow the child to shape its own worldview and so on. So we catch ourselves. Like those on the spiritual journey catch themselves before saying anything, before dumping anything into anyone else's consciousness. It really happens. Before you say the words, you think, the words I say, well, is it going to hurt the other person? Because would I want to hurt myself? Would I like to hear such words? The words I'm speaking, if I was receiving those words, would I really like to hear them? That is the sadhana. But that again can only happen. And then if hurt happens, I find I go and apologize to the person immediately. Because I know how helpless I am. I have a cousin whose siblings used to say something. She was the youngest, and then they would say, sorry. And her reply was, this young girl would say, but sorry doesn't make a dead person alive. And the cousin would say, but you're not dead. So say sorry where you want to say sorry. Say, I really apologize if I hurt you. I didn't mean to, it happened. It is that ghamand and pride which stops us from doing that. But when I truly understand that it was not my doing, then what is the problem in apologizing? I will only not apologize if I consider it my doing, isn't it? I mentioned this in a few satsangs about this client I had, angry client, in my advertising days. And nobody wanted to handle his account because he would get angry with them. So I told my team, they're all youngsters, that you have no choice because we have to handle his account. So you better take his shit. Eventually, it would come on my table. And then I went, met him once for a review meeting. And he said, Gautam, something very shocking has happened to me. He said, I was talking to an uncle the evening before and I got very angry. And he said, I'm very quick to apologize. I have no thing about that. Whoever I get angry with, then I apologize. He said, I could not sleep at night. So the next morning, I called him up to apologize and he had died of a heart attack. And he said, I felt so bad, so bad. I went through hell. And then he said, so I want to tell you and your team, I want to say sorry now only in case I get angry with them. You see, that is coming from the heart. The acknowledgement is there, I am helpless. But the humility is also there. That was very beautiful. So people can't help being themselves. We have to be concerned with ourselves. That is all.
So,
what is your name?
Naveen Singhi.
Naveen. First time?
Yeah, first time. Yeah. Actually, thanks to him. He told me about you.
Good things? Or yeah, little like, of course, sometimes
no.
Good,
no,
some.
No, not only good things. I saw website also and saw a lot of good things about you. I enjoyed your life, how you have changed yourself. I enjoyed seeing from that. And then you see to all this. Yeah. Yeah. Now the question is, the way you described it is sort of developing an understanding about what I am and why I should not be unnecessarily too worried about what is happening.
Yes.
In a way. But is understanding enough? Like I am reminded of what you said about Nath Sampradaya guy who met and he could see the rhythm as soon as person entered. Almost what you were saying, partly because of your heritage also, I was remembering Nisargadatta Maharaj. In one of his talks with Mr. Ganeshan, no, nephew of Raman Maharshi, he was saying that when a person comes to me, he generally used to ask a question. And after that, he was saying that each person has only 1/8 of his conscious mind actually active. Remaining 8/9 is almost sleeping. And sometimes I can wake it up, he was saying. And that changes the person. In a way I see is that he expanded his worldview. So expansion of your view, which includes a lot more than what you are.
Sure.
That is one way to
reduce
your unnecessary struggle.
Yeah. Very well said.
How this can be done? What Nisargadatta could do?
That is the problem.
Yeah. Myself, one probably cannot do. So one has to meet some of these.
Why? Yeah. Even Sai Baba would encourage people who would come to him to go and sit with Mahatmas and saints and all. Yeah. Let them do the job.
Yeah, I agree.
So yeah. You do the job, no? You are also in the same category.
No, yeah, no.
Might be doing, yeah. Might be doing also such thing. One cannot say really.
No, but truly, I believe everyone in their lives, in their circles, has people. They know everyone. You all know your friends, your cousins. Who are the ones who you like? Who you are not trying to wear a mask with all the time? Usually such people are unnoticed because they are the quiet ones. Be with them. Physical presence is, for me, was very important. In this YouTube generation and Zoom generation, it's a different ball game. Now look at this girl sitting in the corner. She had the very good fortune that when she was born, her mother placed her in the lap of a Gyani, Nana Guru. Look at the mother's foresight. Look at the foundation she has given this girl. No gyan, no knowledge, nothing. Just taking the baby, that is why she is here. I told her mother that Nana Guru is at a different level. This is a very simple daily living talk. But the mother's conviction was that she could not be here unless it was Nana Guru's will. So being in this space, you know, going where you know your peace is to be found, the people your peace is to be found, your friend circle. Who am I really trying to impress amongst my friends? And who are the friends I feel comfortable with? Who are the friends I'm trying to show off the clothes I wear, the places I've visited to impress them? And who are those who don't ask me and don't care about such things? In my own life, I can find such people. And if I can't, then I find such people and go and sit with them. But one thing helps. When that happens, I offer my limited mind to them. That I can only think so far. The rest is up to you. You may call that grace. You may have any word for it, any God's name for it. Because most of the work, as you rightly said, which is being done, one is not aware it is being done. The mind is operating at a very little frequency. Even when you think, I've got it, there's this whole thing below it. And when you think you've not got it, you've got it. It's crazy. Because the final understanding rests in the heart and not the mind.
So like in the Zoom talk which we had this Sunday, you also mentioned that the people who are staying nearby should actually come to the satsang.
That I mentioned because it takes up the time of those who are not in Bombay and could have asked on Zoom.
So my question is, this definitely makes a difference when you're physically present in the presence rather than attending on Zoom and all. So definitely, because though we say unity consciousness, everything is one consciousness and there is no location to it. But it has been in my experience, something really drops, some shift happens, it happens. For me, it has happened, like I've been struggling to overcome some barriers and all. So it was very, like, you know, effortlessly, those things just started missing in a different light and all. So I personally believe that the physical presence definitely make a difference.
Yes, that is my experience too.
So, you know, I mean, I just want to just make a comment, like, you know, since I've started coming here, so, you know, there's people, some people in the circle and all, they started saying, you itna bhatak rahi hai. But I said, if I find peace, why not? You know, so this is also a notion, ke bhatakna. But, I mean, this is again coming from conditioning, right? Because you know where you expand.
Yes. And we all keep searching till we find that peace. What is the harm in that?
So you do feel physical presence is very important.
I feel it because it was my experience.
Yeah, right.
If it was not my experience, I may not have felt it. I was with my teacher for 9.5 years.
Yeah.
In Ramana Maharshi's time, so many devotees moved to Thiruvannamalai to be with him.
Yeah.
I feel it would have been a tremendous loss to them if at that time there was Zoom and YouTube, that they didn't bother going when he was there. I feel what I got from my first meeting with Eckhart Tolle physically, I could not have got it long distance. Unknown to me at the time, it was much later, years later, I felt that some of that presence which I felt in the room and with this being kind of got absorbed. So for me, it has been a physical thing. That is why I say, if you have a teacher, if you have a guru, take the trouble and go and sit with them, if that opportunity is there. All spaces do have their energy, like cathedrals, temples, they have distinct energies. So while everything is one consciousness and all that, some places it is more concentrated.
I think when you mentioned Shirdi, something, you know, funny came, not funny, but like an observation, is I have seen a lot of people, including me, when we go to Shirdi for darshan, we stand in a long time, or there's a special queue, we do the darshan and matha take ke, and then we go back. But I have observed that there are a few people, especially foreigners, means who are not from India, who come there, who sit. They may or may not do the darshan, but they come, they sit, they take the vibes of the place, and without doing darshan, you know, they just go out from there. And I think our, again, mind has been programmed like that, that go and, you know, just do the darshan.
And ask and beg for whatever you want in that. You're already asking by the time you're in the queue, you know, ye dena mujhe, ye dena mujhe, ye dena mujhe. Because then you get a split second to touch down. So you don't want to forget certain things. That is what we do.
But I relate to what she said, because I have been very fortunate to be in the company of, like, Sangam ji got me here, and there are a few other gurus who I've been in connection with. So whenever I go, my mom, she tells me that, you know, kahan, like she said the same word, kahan bhatakne ja rahe ho. So till a certain time I used to resist, and now I tell her, main bhatakne nahi ja raha hu, main khoj karne ja raha hu. So she still continues to say the same thing though. But I mean, you know, what happens is, like, I go to office every day and to probably increase my business or serve more people. But it is to such places that we don't come very often. I mean, it's a conscious choice, but we don't come very often. And I think this is the third time which I have come here with Sangam ji. And every time I come again, that connection again gets re-established with the consciousness. So I would just like to first thank him and thank you.
So it reminds me of someone who had the same issue, where his parents were saying, where are you bhatkofying? Is that a word? Bhatkoing. And you know what he said? He was very quick. He said, you should thank God that I am not bhatkoing in pubs and bars and in wrong company.
Exactly. Yes. It's the same thing. People
have learned
this one. If you go to
different bars, you see. Exactly. Yeah. That's the thing. Yet, the bhatkoing can be endless unless one asks oneself, let it be clear to me, what is it I'm looking for? So that when I get that, my bhatkoing stops. Otherwise, I'll keep going on and on and on. I was very fortunate because the first and only time I sat in the hot seat in front of my teacher, he said, what is it that you're looking for? And I had never thought about it. I was 30 years old. So I kept quiet. So he said, are you looking for self-realization? And till that age, I had not heard this word. I didn't know what it was. So I said, abhi kya bolu? He saw a blank expression. He said, are you looking for enlightenment? I didn't even know what that was. So again, I went blank. I said, these are very difficult words. So he looked at his compassion. He said, all right. I know what you're looking for. Whether you know it or not, what you are looking for is peace of mind. So even that was told to me. I didn't know what I was looking for. And then I was told you're looking. So I was very happy. So I had no resistance or problem with what he said, because I didn't know consciously what I was looking for. Unconsciously, my formative years were years of suffering. And obviously, I was looking for peace without knowing it. Anyone who is suffering in some form or another, deep down, is looking for peace.
This, This was your brother or Ramesh Balsekar?
Ramesh Balsekar. Yeah. So it kept it all very simple. Keep it simple. Very important. Keep your relationships simple. Keep yourself simple. God is simple, not complicated.
You spoke about having helpless response or reactions normally, but then later on you realize that this was helpless, although there was understanding and I couldn't help it, but I see it in the light of teaching. So, but then it is so helpless because of your previous conditioning. So what happens in the case of sage? These helpless previous conditioning just fall away completely?
It depends what the predispositions are. Conditionings based on doership fall away. Conditionings based on doership do fall away.
Self-doership or doership of
your... Either way, if I find that there's a certain pattern, as far as the sage is concerned, that foundation of that pattern, is it based on doership or not? Now let's take the example of Ramana Maharshi again, where in that one instance, he got angry on the lady who made a special meal for him. Anger arose. Very rare, but it arose. So it does not mean the sage will not get angry. She ended up with feeling 3 days. And when it was brought to his notice, he said, please tell her, I was not angry at her. I was angry at her behavior. This is a very important distinction, because the anger was not targeted at an individual doing something. It was spontaneous anger because he had got tired of telling all his devotees, don't treat me in a special way. So something snapped at that moment, but it was not directed at an individual doing something, and he clarified that. So for the sage, that is what happens. If I am convinced I am the doer, I will continue certain patterns and conditionings.
Active anger is okay. There is no, that.
There is no guilt and shame associated with it. Regret can be there because I didn't mean to get angry and I got angry. And this girl fell ill for 3 days. An apology ensues. But deep in the heart, it is known that it was not directed at an individual. Most of us, we are directing our anger at individuals, because we will know because we are involved in the anger. Your voice is so soft and gentle, and if you sang a lullaby here, we'd all fall asleep, I think. No? Should we next time, will you? Instead of silent meditation, you can sing something.
No, the usually is because we were practicing silence. No, so it's tough to come in the voice. So one beautiful thing which I have picked up from Ramesh's teaching is, and this has been my practice since I've heard him, like pick up an action from your day and just check who was the doer. And that has really helped me so much. Because, you know, the deep down conditioning which is embedded in the every grain that we are the doers, you know, and every night, you know, as if one by one, that layer is coming out, and I can see literally it's just happening. So, yeah, it's really commendable to always, like, you know.
It is beautiful. And the more that happens, the more we realize others are not the doers.
It always begins from here, like, you know.
Has anyone come here from out of town? No? You? You've come from out of town? From where? You're even softer than her. That word didn't travel. Hyderabad. So you were visiting Mumbai? Okay. Who's your friend? This one. Two friends. Three of y'all are together. So y'all are from Mumbai? No. Rajasthan. You're from Mumbai?
I'm living in Mumbai.
On some assignment or?
Yeah, it's for a cause.
A cause? Secret cause?
Hairdressing
course. Course. Yeah. So your friends are visiting you? One from Rajasthan, one from Hyderabad. And do you all have an interest in the subject, or she dragged both of y'all here? No, you don't have to nod. You can be honest.
though there is a shared interest.
Yes.
It's just that when everyone connects with something, and you know, we just go with the flow, we just try it.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. It's lovely.
You can give me a haircut then. Once your course is complete, huh? Not before that.
I need lots of models to cut hair.
Oh, we'll all be available. Even Eknath will make himself available.
Gautam, if you could just share, like, how it was for you initially? Like, you said that you were with your guru for nine and a half years, you mentioned, right? So, obviously, then, you know, because at that age, the pull to go back to your, you know, normal or conditioned life that was there, that would have been very strong. So, maybe you could share, I don't know, some instance or something which would...
Both. I had my conditioned life and I would go there every Sunday, which became my new conditioned life. It was both.
Was there a flip-flop?
No. How can there be really a flip-flop if you truly get the message that thy will be done? That became the mantra. Thy will be done. Not my will, O Lord, but thine be done.
But your mother's sinfulness was before this? So
yes.
Was there also?
I think that created the foundation. So I was very fortunate that way that since my 20s, I was in this in one way or another. I used to still grumble, hello, if we were out on a Saturday night at 3 a.m. and I had to go for satsang on Sunday morning, I would grumble, but I would go. So it was like both.
I remember you truly said, like, your sister insisted you to meet Eckhart.
Yeah.
So, like, even there was, like, but...
There was a lot of resistance, yeah. And I had a friend who didn't help because he was in the police force. And we were having dinner with Nikki and he could not believe that someone had written a book on the power of now. So he told Nikki that, he said, look, when I'm shooting someone, I'm in the present moment. It's as simple as that. So why would I read a book on being in the present? And so Nikki couldn't argue with that, right? But the point is, what about when you're not shooting someone? So I was dragged to meet him. I was dragged to meet Ramesh. But how compassionate consciousness is, that it brings you to a certain place, whether you like it or not. It disregards your will. That is why he said, Maharaj said, consciousness will grab your ear and drag you to itself. That is called compassion, because it pays no heed to your arrogance or your ignorance. One has to be very grateful for this. But then one is judging, comparing this teacher, that teacher, judging this message. Then the mind is again on its trip. Look at the compassion. Someone said something. You read a book. Someone, one friend told another friend. Come. That is how it works. And so as these girls are doing, honoring what comes with the flow and going along is the best way. I resisted, but I was very fortunate that I still got what I was supposed to get. But others may not. So better to go with the flow.
How do you explain something like Tommy's sudden understanding of presence in the bench in the university?
That is called the dark night of the soul, which we can discuss if you will grace us with your presence next time.
Yeah, yeah. So I will be very much interested. Not basically yours, but I will want to take that. So next time.
Every 2 weeks we are sitting.
Every 2 weeks. Yeah, I'll come.
You mean if he doesn't come, you won't come?
I'll come with him.
He's a wanderer. He's
no, he here. Told me already that he's always keen to come to you.
His name is Sangam. So huh. Yes,
Sangam has been a bit abusive of late.
He was in Bangalore.
I hope to be in Hyderabad in a month or so for a talk. Great.
So this will be leave this Sunday and next Sunday, huh?
Something like that. It's on the mailing list.
Yeah, right. Yeah.